February 1st, 2018 to order. To start business, we'll ask the secretary to take roll call to determine if there is a quorum present.
Mr. Gaston?
Here.
Mr. Wilber?
Here.
Mr. Mahoney?
Here.
Mr. Wiseman?
Here.
Major General Gardner?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Present.
Ms. Shipley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great, thank you. Item number one is communications. We'll start with acknowledging communications to come before the board.
All communications were in your packet, and there are no additions to be made.
Thank you. Does any of the board members care to disclose any ex parte communications or abstentions for specific agenda items at this time? I see none. Are there any agenda items that will be deferred?
Not to our knowledge.
Not at this time. Okay, moving on to item number two, to consider the approval of the minutes from the December 7th, 2017 and January 4th, 2018 meetings of the board. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Can we make a motion to accept those minutes concurrently?
If you like.
Right.
So moved.
We have a motion to accept the December 7th and January 4th meeting minutes of the board. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Any abstentions?
I have to abstain from December, but I can.
I also have to. I was not present in December.
Okay. So, motion passes. And at this point, we're ready to begin the public hearing. Starting with item number three, variance from the parking area setback for a residential dwelling at 900 Alabama Street.
Good evening. The variance before you this evening is a request for a reduction of a parking setback from 25 feet to 10 feet, which would be mainly running along the northern property along 9th Street along this property. It is zoned RM12D-UC, which is a designation. RM12D is a duplex zoning district in the city. UC indicates the Oread Neighborhood Design Guideline Overlay is applied to this property. The guidelines do have some review criteria in place for the aesthetics and placement of design for parking lots. They don't necessarily speak to the setbacks of the parking lots. That still devolves to the Land Development Code, hence the variance before you this evening. So some of the constraints that do exist, as you can see there on the property, it's a little bit, make that a little bit bigger there so you can see it there. Property does have an alleyway running behind it. It is directly adjacent to West 9th Street and also to Alabama Street on the western side there. The site triangle in part of the code kind of corresponds with the 25-foot setback. So you can see here, the red hashing is the 25-foot setback is required. The orange space there is the site triangle that is required by code. The green space there would be the amount of reduction would be going up to that one. So the green space would be the setback if the variance is granted for that item. It does match the site triangle and that setback match very cleanly for that response. Staff does have concerns given that there is a bicycle lane, the sidewalks, and the speed of traffic along this street. Being a minor arterial, that would have some impedance for the visibility of it and possibly some safety implications to that one. The request is also stemming from a change in the intensity for the site itself there. Structure is currently used in a detached dwelling configuration. Now, duplexes are allowed by the zoning code, but maybe not the intensity would meet that item. So the way that the parking code works is you have to provide one parking space for every bedroom in the duplex. So if you're able to contain that on the parcel or accommodate for on the parcel, that can sometimes limit the amount of intensity that's on the site. So the duplex use is permitted, but the intensity of the parking would have to meet the intensity of the structure, which may not be compatible in this instance. Staff did review the item before this evening. We could not recommend recommendation based on the five criteria. With that, I'd be glad to stand for any questions you have.
Could you, looking at this map here, re-describe the green, orange, and red areas?
Certainly. The red area would be the 25-foot parking setback that's required by code. The green area would be the setback from the reduction portion. So if the setback is granted, it would go up to the green lines. The orange triangle there is the side triangle that is required by the Land Development Code, which is 25 feet back from that, going down the line and returning back into that 25 feet.
So currently that northern spot is in the setback?
Approximately, yes.
So that means that the other property right next to it had to have a variance.
Don't have a record of a variance being granted for that property, so I'm not exactly sure how it was constructed.
So it doesn't fit the, at least the triangle part?
Correct.
Can you go to I guess page 5 of 8? I'm not sure. Yeah, right there. So that is the proposed.
Correct.
Okay. And the issue being that the applicant would like to add that spot to the top of the screen there.
Correct.
In order to allow for the number of units in the proposed?
Yes. Be approximately 2 spaces would need to be provided in that setback.
And if they're not allowed to do that, then they would not be able to allow the number of units or number of bedrooms in the proposed?
Number of bedrooms.
So our parking requirements are actually driving the number of bedrooms and units we can provide for individuals in this community, in this case?
The number of bedrooms in the unit would drive the number of parking spaces required. Correct.
But the restriction of that driver is saying that because they can't get parking spaces on there, they have to reduce the number of bedrooms?
Possibly, yes.
So parking is controlling density.
Jeff, I have a question.
This seems to be a recurring theme.
I'm also going to intrude the 25-foot setback on the building, correct? On the north west corner of the property.
Kind of in that space there?
Correct.
That, the parking, the 25-foot setback is only for parking.
It's only for the parking.
Correct. So it would be, there is a, Article 6 would control for your buildings.
Okay.
Which is the 10-foot line?
Correct.
And what was the specific reason that you determined that you would not recommend the variance?
There were a couple of the criteria was, specific one is being, this is induced by the request of the applicant. There is not anything that's uniquely specific to the parcel itself. There are parcels in this neighborhood that are smaller and there are some that are larger, but they all contain the same relative item. There is no unique platting situation that is associated with this parcel. The driver of this one is the desire for the number of units or the intensity of use on the parcel, which is an action that is undertaken as a part of the redevelopment, not as an action that was induced by the zoning code or by a platting mechanism there. Staff also has concerns with the bicycle lane, the sidewalk, the traffic that you tend to see along West 9th Street, that any kind of impedance into that side triangle may hinder visibility of those items as they're coming down the street, or if somebody's trying to make a left-hand turn, may not see one of those items cleanly or quick enough. So.
And then based on the zoning, if parking were not a requirement, how many units could you get on this lot? Or is there an idea of what could go on this lot based on the current zoning?
Well, allows for a duplex use. The number of bedrooms would be limited by a portion of the Land Development Code that restricts to no more than 4 unrelated per unit. So if you work that out, if it is a duplex use, then the code would allow up to 8 occupants, potentially.
Okay, but could there be another use where you could have even more density?
If the zoning was different, yes.
Okay. So this is the maximum use based on the zoning. It's 2 units.
Correct.
Okay.
Back to the question about Section 6 mandating the building code. Hypothetically, could the house be built into this space at that 10-foot setback?
The structure could be built into the 10-foot because the Article 6 requires for the building setbacks, while the parking setback is controlled under Article 9. So there's a little bit of a difference in the way that it treats and reacts to those items there.
Is stacked parking still allowed on this site?
No, the Oread Neighborhood Design Guidelines prohibit stacked parking.
When were those design guidelines enacted?
It'd been February of last year, I believe.
When was the purchase of this property?
I'm not equipped to answer that question, unfortunately.
Okay, we'll ask the applicant. Anyone have any other questions?
No.
All right. Hear from the applicant?
Correct.
At this time, I think we're ready to hear from the applicant. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Mark Kern. I'm one of the owners of the property. And thank you for taking the time to review our application and consider our requests.
Great.
I guess looking through this, one of the questions asked was the number of units that this would allow if the variance was not granted. And I guess if you're looking at bedrooms with the duplex zoning, you would look at 5, which existing, it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. So you would be allowed to build a 1-bedroom duplex on this lot.
Is there anything you care to share about your project or?
Oh, sure, yes. You know, looking through and some of the comments that I'll go to some of the photos at the end, because I believe some of the questions with keeping the integrity of the neighborhood and what we're trying to do, that's some of the photos that we provided are examples of the work that we've done in that area. And they're in here somewhere. And I believe they're in the back of your packet. That's a rendering of the front of what the with the new addition. You know, keeping with the characteristics of the neighborhood, and the house beside it is actually one that it was used in the overlay. This is the current parking. So the question was asked, is it in the 10-foot? Yes, it is. They're currently parking. As a part of that, looking across to the 8-plex that currently exist within the orange line of sight that Jeff discussed earlier. And then here's the parking lot, the extension. I took this because initially we had the trash on the street side. We revised that, which eliminated that concern, moving it to the other side. Plus, with the dumpster there, there's plenty of room to allow for the trash receptacles. This is a current photo of the existing house, to where our construction and the new duplex would mostly be on the south side of the existing. Here is, and to show you, this is 908 Main. This is the before picture with the 8/20/12. This is what it currently looks like from the rehab process. You know, looking and keeping the style, the porch, the look, the feel, what we completed there. The smaller picture, that is 923 Alabama. It was actually, we had to condemn it, because it was actually, if you'll see the crack in the top there, the house was splitting apart, and then this is the structure that we replaced it with. So that's a little bit of our work in looking and trying to provide a higher quality of housing in this area, but continuing to keep the integrity of the Oread district.
When did you acquire the property?
That would have been October 27th, 2017.
Does anyone have any other questions for the applicant?
So you were aware of the stack parking revision in the Orient neighborhood when you acquired it?
The stack parking?
Yeah. The revision in the regulations in the Orient neighborhood about stack parking?
Yes.
Okay.
That was no longer allowed?
Okay.
Yes. Actually, when we purchased it, we had the seller had provided us a letter from the city stating that it was zoned for duplex, which, you know, looking at a duplex, to have the half lot in the distance, we thought, well, that would be great to be able to add that duplex. Unknown to us with that far of a setback, because we actually own the property across the street from it as well, across the street, across the alley, mm-hmm. which is a 8-plex, so you have 16 cars coming in and out of that with the current 10-foot setbacks. And to this date, we have not had a problem, one, with the concerns of the Planning Commission with line of sight. And the garage there is our shop, so we were down there quite a bit and are very familiar with the traffic and mm-hmm. things that and the bicyclists and pedestrians that exist there.
So there are 16 spaces across the alley?
Yes.
For that 8-plex?
Yes.
How often are those full?
Very, very seldom.
So it implies two cars per unit?
Pardon me?
You're providing two cars per unit.
Yes. With the garage, there's actually 14 spaces. With the garage, you're allowed two stacked.
Okay.
But, there are always parking spaces, and we always have access to our garage.
Right.
So would it be possible for you to, I'm looking now at your drawing of your plan, the site plan.
Mm-hmm.
Where 900B is at the bottom. If 900B was swapped, put into the top of the picture, and therefore into the 10-foot zone, would you be able to put parking at the bottom?
Hey, Jeff, how do you get this back up? Oh. I've done something here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Where the question was, you were asking about where were the additional parking spots?
If you moved 900B to the top of the picture, do you think you'd be able to fit the parking where 900B is? If you can go into 10 feet for the structure. And I guess I would have to ask a question to Jeff. What's the setback on the side that 900B is on?
Should be 5 feet. Should be 5 feet from the line.
There's two items that would be in play with this one. The first one would be what would be under land development code, which is under your purview, which would be normally would be an interior side setback of 5 feet, but that setback is extended and revised under the Orient Neighborhood Design Guidelines, so it does require an additional setback in that item. Typically, when you go to a parking,
how much?
It would have to look. I don't have that number off the top of my head. It's usually there's a balancing between each side that must total up to, I believe, 15 feet. So how you get to 15 feet within a certain shifting of the building is usually up to however the site works and lays out there. That only works for the building. The setbacks for parking are still controlled under Article 9 for density design for the parking structures. Usually you get to about 2 feet off the property line to allow for the door to swing open and be free of running into an obstacle, hole, something of that nature, as you're moving down the line there. as they have it designed right now, it looks to be approximately that trash would be about 2 feet, give or take, from that property line, so it'd be consistent with the code for being as close as it can be. So it's always important to kind of keep in mind that a building setback is a separate item than from the parking setback that we're discussing. So there's two different things in play in that respect there. The variance request is only for the parking setback.
Yeah, so parking setback where 900B is, if the parking was there, would be 5 feet or from the property that's to the, you know, whatever that is, south, or I don't know if
it's south.
I don't know if this is north up or not.
Yeah, that'd be to the south, going towards the bottom of the,
okay,
of the drawing there.
So
the way they have it designed right now, it looks to be approximately 2 feet from the property line, which is consistent with both the ORAD guidelines and also the development code requirements for the lines.
I'm not bothering. If we were to move the parking where 900B is,
how would you propose that be done, Greg?
Well, I mean, that would be up to them.
It would be available space, I think,
yeah,
is what
yeah, you
generals.
Yeah, you can make more space by putting 900B on the north side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well. That's what I'm asking.
I understand what you're saying. I think that's a possibility. I think that, yeah, you would meet the setback to the property to the south if you did that.
And it would be 5 foot setback from the next property to the south.
Possibly.
You'd probably have to angle.
Right, that's what I
think.
It would also be up to the city engineer if he would accept that as a standard parking dimension. So that may not be acceptable to the article portion of the code for the city engineer. Usually when they have the alleys, the stacked parking is the least amount of pavement before you start running into an impervious surface coverage problem with some,
yeah,
of the sites. So that's why you tend to see the tray parking running along the back, because it's easy ingress and egress off the alley. Mm-hmm. You don't have a loss of green space going through the site, which is a consistency item for the ORAD neighborhood design guidelines. There's a concern in there about green space and preserving yards and some of that general development pattern that you tend to see in the neighborhood, where you have the front yard, the structure, the backyard, and then some form of parking, either a garage or, in this case, a parking tray running in the back there. So without having too much of a drawing to kind of work from there, I can't say if that would be consistent with what would be required in the ORAD neighborhood design guidelines for the Historic Resource Commission or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
Was the opportunity or the option explored with city staff for you to look at providing parking off-site or a curb cut to allow parking on the front?
Curb cut, no. Off-site, yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
No.
Thank you.
Can I?
Yeah.
With the off-site?
Yeah.
Which was the shared, and we pursued with the shared parking because we have shared parking across the street,
yeah,
within the guidelines of the 600 feet. Unfortunately, that was also denied because it was the interpretation of the overlay did not mention that shared parking was allowed anymore.
So it didn't specifically say denied, it just said it wasn't clarified if it was allowed.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Huh?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. At this time, I think we're ready to open it up for public comment. Is that correct?
Well, my name is Candace Davis, and I live in the ORAD neighborhood. I have for 20 years. We spent years, maybe five plus, working on stabilizing this neighborhood. Actually, we spent as long as I've lived there. And part of that time, the last probably 4 to 5 years, we've worked on this overlay district. I'd like you to understand that this neighborhood 60 years ago was a single family neighborhood, and that being because there are mostly single family structures there. What I hear you talking about right now is jerry-rigging something that's brought before you. And I'm not suggesting this gentleman doesn't do a nice job. What I'm suggesting is I don't understand why you don't follow the code that's before you. This, to have a variance, is a very unique situation. This property on the corner is not unique. The setbacks required, I know Jeff mentioned that there's a bike path, there's a sidewalk there. Unfortunately, I don't know how the other property across the way didn't have to abide by the 25-foot. But to me, to go ahead and disregard the code and go back to making an exception from the get-go pretty much sets a precedence for anybody deciding to change the code. As it is, this gentleman can build a duplex. There's not a problem. It would be a six-bedroom duplex with three on each side, which is a fairly large unit. I own property in the Oread neighborhood that is a property and a half. It has a large house on it. We have four unrelated people in there, and I make a decent living. It's a good investment. I'm not here as a neighbor to maximize someone's investment. I think he could still do a really nice job. I don't think it's, to me, your job to make something work out because that was the request. I think you have specific guidelines to follow. This overlay district is extremely important. We are looking at balancing the neighborhood in terms of the density, but also the livability, so that you can have both renters living there happily as well as homeowners. And if you don't have homeowners, you're going to have a blighted area eventually. So we've done a lot of work. I think it would be really important to stick to the code, to honor the overlay district and the guidelines that exist. And by the way, one parking space per bedroom is very common throughout the city. This isn't something exceptional to the Oread neighborhood. And stacked parking has been an issue. I think it should be an issue in other parts of town besides the Oread neighborhood, because there is no entrance or egress that is very viable, and consequently, people tend not to do that. Stacked parking is something that should be in a single family unit where people can share keys to cars. At any rate, that's my comment. I hope you'll respect the code and respect our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? This time I'll entertain a motion to close public comment.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
Motion carries. Discussion?
I don't think that this variance application comes anywhere near me. Our five. Help me out, John.
Our criteria.
Generally, I mean, we could just start with uniqueness. I don't see anything unique about this property. The general spirit, I think, to approve something that is so far away from meeting all five of the criteria goes against the general spirit. The safety issue, I think, could be argued, and I could probably even be swayed that depending on the vehicle, I don't know that that would cause a safety issue, especially because the unit across the alley has that situation, and it does not appear to be a safety issue. But I could also understand if someone thought that. And then I also think that I don't think that it would adversely affect the rights of adjacent property owners. But there's really not much that's going to sell me on uniqueness. I think that this variance would, you know, it's only to add the extra bedroom. It's not to deny a project. We could still, you're still available to have the 6 bedrooms on site. There's nothing that says you can't. So just to add the extra bedroom, I just don't see this one, guys. And pardon, lady.
Yeah, I'd echo what Mr. Mahoney said. I'm having a tough time getting the uniqueness on this, and I don't see it either. And I do have a concern with the safety. I know there's a way to get past it, but that's always an overriding concern, so I'm kind of in the same place as Josh is.
Well, I would just, the only, I think with respect to the criteria, I would tend to agree it probably does not meet all 5, but in looking at properties in that area, this would not be dissimilar to what I've seen just looking at Google Maps. I mean, they almost all of them get their parking up to that 10-foot area. So part of me also says, well, everybody, it's being done everywhere else, so what's the big deal? And what's the, you know, whether it could be concerned with aesthetic or, you know, potentially a safety issue, but that would be prevalent throughout that neighborhood, so.
I think that illustrates an important point, especially with these corner lots and the added complexity of determining uniqueness. I think this is the struggle that we typically have. You know, to address public comment directly, I think it's bordering on insulting to suggest that this board would do anything but our fiduciary responsibility to address the criteria that's before us. We also take very great respect to property owners to help them determine whether or not the criteria is met and perhaps identify solutions in the future. Ultimately, this is somebody's property, and we must respect that. At some point, at several times, we come to a conclusion where it does make sense as far as what the solution here is. There doesn't seem to be an adverse effect, and frankly, I have yet to see any evidence that providing more parking does any city any good whatsoever. But in this case, we have a responsibility to the criteria, so I would agree with everyone on here. I don't think we have a case to offer the variance as much as I would like to. I think it just highlights the how our current code is perhaps missing the mark and providing what we need to provide for the long-term sustainability of our city. That is directly related to, as you mentioned earlier, that most of these houses were single family 60 years ago. What you fail to recognize in that public comment is that the average household family size was about 5 or 5 or 6. Now it's about 2.3, which means we've lost density in most neighborhoods close to the urban core. And so we have to change the way we think about density and how those units are provided. So there might have been several more people, particularly in my neighborhood in East Lawrence, that lived in that neighborhood that can't simply live there anymore because lifestyles have changed. Regardless, what's before us is a variance that it appears through comment is going to be difficult to approve because of uniqueness, but I would entertain a motion or further discussion.
Propose a motion to deny the variance as presented this evening. I'm going to base that on staff's presentation, finding of fact this evening amongst the board, and public comment.
Mr. Chair, any motion for denial, would the board be so kind of direct staff to come up with findings of fact for that motion too, please?
For the motion?
Findings of fact for the decision.
Okay. And it's based on the fact that it fails to meet the 5 conditions outlined in section 20-1309 G1, specifically uniqueness.
Would you like to direct staff to do findings of fact for denial?
Would you please? Thank you.
So we have a motion.
That was the motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Tried.
No, I agree about density, but I also understand parking is everybody has a car at this point.
In 20 years?
Gotta have parking.
20 years, it won't happen. It's a common theme with that individual. Oh no. That's right.
Anyway, it's not you we have to convince, it's the teenagers.
Yeah, they don't like cars.
All right. We're ready for item number 4, parking setback variance from West 6th Street on building or setback lines on major streets or highway at 3900 West 6th Street. We're prepared to hear from staff.
My apologies, I just have him over with the mouse there. This variance this evening is for 3900 West 6th Street, which is a request for a setback reduction along West 6th Street from 50 feet, which is required by the subdivision regulations in Article 8, to a reduction of 40 feet for those items there. There is a special provision in the subdivision regulations that revolve this to you instead of the Planning Commission, which tends to be the normal body that hears a subdivision variance. A specific finding from the board is required that it constitutes a complete deprivation of use for the site, and that provision there, that is under section 20-814 of the Land Development Code there. Kind of as you can see the site here, maybe more familiar with the former Applebee's site there. There is another, make you aware, other applications that are available and in with the Planning Office. One is for a special use permit and also a minor subdivision to adjust the parceling that is involved with this property here. There's also a rezoning in play that will also be accounted for. Property is currently zoned PCD, and I believe the request is for change to a CN2, which would require a special use permit for the approval of a car wash. But the item before you this evening is a request for the variance from section 814. There are a couple of number of encumbrances that you can kind of see in place there, and you have a wonderful diagram provided by the applicant, which hopefully I can get to quickly without the mouse having another. Thank you. As you can see, which is a little sideways here, so north would be to the right-hand side there. There is an overhead electric easement. There is a 16-inch gas main building setback. And there is also, as you see towards the left-hand side of the screen there, the 50-foot green space buffer in there. Staff went ahead and researched some of the items that you're seeing on the side here just to kind of figure out when the encumbrances were occurred. To the best of our information that we could achieve from Douglas County, the overhead electric easement was acquired sometime in 1946. The gas line easement was granted around 1959. The setback, which you have a copy of the ordinance adopting that setback, was put in place by the City Commission and County Commission in 1990. The property overall was platted in 2002. So some of those encumbrances have been there for quite some time. The standard has been equally upheld since adoption, with one noted exception. That was for some properties on Chateau Drive, which are two residential structures that have their backyards facing towards West 6th Street. They were granted a variance in 1990. The staff actually found this afternoon, we actually were able to retrieve the files and verify that that was there. So that is why you see those two houses that back up close to that property. To give you an idea of that, the 50-foot setback coming into their lots would have accumulated about two-thirds of the lots in one of the instances would have been encumbered by the 50-foot easement. So just wanted to put that out there that was one we did find after your packet was published, but we just found today. So you have that information. Another item that is kind of out there and available is the site is potentially available for use for other purposes and commercial entities in that respect there. The restaurant that was formerly there is constructed within the envelope of the easements and the encumbrances that are on there. So it's not to kind of go down the one use. There are other options that are available. It may just not fit the programmatics of this site as we're proposing it today. Staff estimated approximately 23,000 square feet of the site is not encumbered by a setback or an easement of some nature in there. So there is some land still in play on that one there. I know there's kind of a lot of information in a sideways drawing there, so I'd be glad to stand for any questions you have related to this
23,000 of the total amount of land that's in play?
Correct. So the space that would not be kind of in this white space, I'm kind of drawing the box around here, would be approximately about 23,000 square feet based on our computer system.
Well, certainly the triangular part of the corner would not be usable.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Overhead electric easement. Are there any overhead electrical lines present?
There are.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have to meet the same five criteria?
Correct.
Okay. And you guys did not find that that is not unique?
Correct. We should mention that one. Thank you for mentioning that. I left that out there. Staff could not recommend approval of the variance this evening because it did not meet the five criteria for that criteria. The five criteria before you this evening in the same regard. It is a little unique in the respect that it does have some of these easements, but it's not unlike some parcels that do have these same easements that do construct in different ways. In fact, this parcel is actually constructed right now with a restaurant building, so it's got potential for that item to be to carry forward there. So it's a little unique in maybe the dimensioning and the size of it, but not in the fact that it still has buildable capacity.
On this plan right here, it shows a number of parking stalls. Those are the required parking for this use?
I am not handling the special use permit, so I can't answer that question, but I believe that to be correct.
Okay, we can ask the applicant on that. And this is a drive-through car wash?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Okay. So we're... I'll get to that. That's interesting.
Does that green space requirement stop at that street?
The setback is from the property line into the parcel, 50 feet is required by that regulation there. The green space buffer that's being indicated on the drawing is the 50-foot setback.
Okay, so the board of realtors that's across the street.
Correct.
Do they have the same 50-foot requirement?
Start there. I thought it started at Monterey.
So the computer and I are not having a good night, so I'm so sorry about some of the bad movements here. The yellow line you can see there is the sections of street that fall under 20-814's requirement for the setback there. It runs from Monterey Way to Folks Road and then also from Wakarusa Drive west to K-10. So that property would be outside of the scope for that setback requirement.
So right across the street doesn't have to follow that rule.
Correct.
And it goes and then it breaks.
Correct.
And the justification for it is that it's the entrance to the city.
Correct. That was the ordinance that was passed by the city and county commissions.
So that's a long entrance to the city to get to that spot.
It's a good city.
I guess. But I think the city's expanded, so the entrance expanded.
That used to be.
That's also true. Jeff, is it normal to have such a large diagonal overhead electric easement?
In this part of town, there is a large main transmission line that is running effectively diagonally through a large swath of Lawrence. It's a little, you can't really see it. I'm going to try and point this out as best I can. You can kind of see it in the aerials here. So it runs right through here, and then it may keep going, and then it starts to make another directional turn as it goes down, but that you can kind of see there's a swath of it that runs right up and through this part of town.
Okay.
So in regard to uniqueness, I think the other properties on 6th Street were mentioned in your report. That electrical easement doesn't impact any of the other properties on 6th Street, it's just this one.
It encumbers also portions of the Hy-Vee lot where they have their parking principally, and also up as you start kind of, with a moment, I'll try to get this on a...
But this would be the, those would be the only two properties on that stretch of 6th Street that would be facing that electrical easement issue. I guess that's my question.
I think it goes up into what Jeff's going to show. It goes up into that corner of the little shopping center next to Ivy with yeah. Chipotle and those things.
Yeah, so yeah, you have to dodge Chipotle all the time.
You have parking in the easement, but can't hold it.
Right.
Which is why the building looked right to the very edge of that easement.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Okay, so as you can kind of see, the building to the north kind of runs at an angle, kind of going to the northeast there. That follows, give or take a little bit, kind of that same angle of that easement running through the property. So this building kind of is bent to accommodate for that easement line there. Now, the easement is not something that's given to the city of Lawrence. It is a private easement that's given to the power company, and there are different permissions and items that they can grant or not grant into those easements. I can't speak for what is permissible underneath the easement in that respect. That's up to Westar to make that allowance and those determinations. But you guys see there is a little bit that, it's a little tough to see, but there's a faint line where you can see the lines running
sure.
right through there.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
I do just have yeah. one. So west of that, so if I recall, first Hy-Vee and the strip center built, and then years later they added the gas station, right?
Correct.
And the gas station is observing the 50-foot setback, and they have a lot of people driving in and out of there trying to get to the gas station. When I've seen it. They are. I just wanted to be sure that, again, they didn't get an easement. It might have been nice. But they're observing the 50-foot setback.
Correct.
Okay.
And staff, when in our research, we only found two other instances where variance had been requested from this item. One of them was not brought forward to the Board of Zoning Appeals back in the early 1990s. The applicant decided to just go ahead and work with the site to make it comply. The other one was before the board about a year to 18 months ago, as you heard, that was not continued forward also for a very similar reason.
Are the and you don't know about the development, we can ask the applicant about the radiuses that are provided on the parking lot, so on and so forth, number of parking spaces.
I would defer to them on that one. Okay. They have more knowledge than I would.
Okay.
Jeff, is a question before us this evening, the green space setback?
In the drawing, yes, that would be the 50-foot parking setback.
Correct, the 50 to approximately 40.58?
Correct.
That is the only issue we're facing this evening. The rest of the building is not in, it's not in the overhead easement or the gas easement, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to make sure the board understood that.
Right.
And to define that green space setback, that means you just can't have paving on it.
Right, the way that the ordinance is written, which is in your packet, I apologize, I don't have that in memory.
I'll 9.5 feet. 9.42 feet. Approximately. It's right here, general. That right there. That's a driveway exiting the car wash. Or entering, pardon me.
The ordinance establishes a 50-foot building and parking setback along West 6th Street.
And so at its current configuration, General, with the building butted up to the north against the easement, there's no room for it to go back in its current proposed configuration.
Any other questions for staff?
Nope.
All right. At this time, I think we're ready to hear from the applicant. Thank you, Jeff.
I don't have the technology to
Thank you very much.
Board members, good evening. My name is Matthew Goff. I'm at Barber Emerson Law Firm. I'm trying to write my name and say it at the same time. I shouldn't do that. I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, Wild Pine Ventures LLC, and the applicant is intending to build a Tommy's Express car wash on the former Applebee's site. I'll confess to being a new addition to the team, but I'm joined today by Austin Davis, who's one of the applicant's representatives. We have Chris Michael, who's a franchisee that owns a number of other Tommy's Express car washes in other cities. Harland Russell is with GBA Architects and Engineers, and we also have other owners and representatives with us. So if you ask me something I can't answer, they probably can. We're here this evening at the request of the planning staff, and I want to compliment the staff in the feedback that the applicant's given me. They've had nothing but positive things to say about how helpful they've been, and so that is very much appreciated. But I'm informed that the planning staff has categorized this 50-foot parking and building setback as a green space buffer, and that's even shown on one of the exhibits that we were just looking at. I'm going to keep it on the Elmo for just a second here, but I want you to know that the various section that we're discussing here is based on a 1990 ordinance adopted by the City Commission. And in 1990, and in every year since, the City Commission had some leeway to decide what words to use to describe the setback. And they chose to use the words building and parking setback. And that is highlighted, and I'll try to zoom in. That could be a dangerous prospect. But there it goes, five times on this page. And the green highlight is the section that we're talking about. So what is it? It is a building and parking setback. It's not a green space buffer. There's a reference in the code to wanting to create a greenway effect. How do they do it? With a building and parking setback line. So what does that mean? Now in Kansas, zoning ordinances are strictly construed the way they're written. They're interpreted very specifically, not broadly. So they are applied kind of a plain meaning. So let me first and foremost say that this team before you very much wants to make a good first impression. They very much want to take a building that's functionally obsolete and turn it into a very nice, very tech-savvy and well-built car wash. But what they need is to build a car wash with an access drive to their tunnel. Gotta zoom out now. About 9 feet of which encroaches upon, there it is, green space buffer. Well, that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not a green space buffer. We're building an access drive. A building setback applies to buildings. This is not a building. Under the city's own codes, it wouldn't be categorized as a structure. Even the term setback line has a definition in the code. And the principal purpose of it is to define the area where the principal structure must be erected or placed. And you can see that the principal structure fits very nicely in the white area on this page. Parking setbacks are for parking. Under no circumstances will someone be allowed to park on that access drive. And we have no objection to a note on the plat or the site plan saying as much. But that is not parking. So if you use the words that are written down and apply their plain meaning, you're looking at a project that doesn't need a variance. Because we're not building a building. We're not building parking. So I stand before you this evening asking that you find and determine that that access drive isn't a building and it isn't parking. And you can do it one of two ways. You can make that determination and find that we don't need a variance, or you can grant the variance. This is a unique site because there is nowhere in town that has easements like this. And you are dealing with a structure that has very particular prototype model requirements that are not easy to just change. It would be a hardship on this applicant to make them shrink their building or do something. And for what? So they can have an access drive on a place where you're not supposed to put buildings and parking? That doesn't seem like it's fair or equitable. So, all that said, I'll stand for your questions, but hopefully I've communicated kind of what the idea here is.
The southern turn into the car wash, what can it be brought closer to the building?
The question was whether the access
and
drive...
What is that little circle in the semicircle?
That sounds like an engineer question. Okay. But
here
we go. Yes, sir.
I'm Harlan Russell with GBA. What we did was we took the what's basically in that particular instance is the absolute minimum turning radius that the Tommy's franchise has found that functions well to get the cars in and out. And I know Chris is here and can speak very well to all of the components inside the tunnel and how they are tied together and how it is important that the geometry of that drive be in that configuration. Because that was the first thing as a site engineer that we asked was, hey, can we tighten this radius up? You know, we do them tighter than that all the time in fast food restaurants. Well, you guys have probably driven through some of those double lane real tight at McDonald's. And that's, with this particular instance, we can't get that tight. So that's my answer. Thank you.
I have on the application, the third question, in the response, the third sentence of the response, starting with, due to the constraints of our lot, which we had no way of knowing were there until we made an offer, have rendered it useless. What did you not know that has rendered the lot useless?
I think what that means is that when a potential buyer goes under contract to acquire some real estate, it very, very seldom has the title work in place before they sign the contract. And that's why you're given a title insurance commitment and time to investigate it and due diligence to do all those things. So when they sign a real estate contract, they see a map with a parcel on it, and then they get the title work to see where the easements are.
So they had no idea about the easements when they made the offer?
I can't speak to it, but that's what you read from, so.
I have two questions. Number one, you said that you didn't believe a variance was even needed. And so my question is, then why are you here this evening if you showed us the language that a variance wasn't needed? And why wasn't this taken care of before it got here?
Well, when I woke up this morning, I didn't know I'd be here today.
That's a good answer.
But the team that's here with me today don't have a prior experience in Lawrence. They don't know our codes. And so when the staff tells them it's a green space buffer and they need a variance, they went for a variance.
I have one more question. You said that it would cause an undue hardship, and I was just wondering what type of hardship that would be.
So this building is not the first one of these buildings that have ever been built. And the franchisor who builds these buildings has been doing it for about 40 years. And apparently they've gotten pretty good at it. And the internal workings of this car wash involve a conveyor belt. I asked a lot of dumb questions today myself. Mm-hmm. Not to say yours was. But it's a conveyor belt that involves a number of series of machinery and brushes and hoses and sprayers, each having timing with a sensor based on the size, the height of your car, the width of your wheels. And if you take a chunk out, it's difficult to say, okay, what machinery then goes away?
I'm curious, just thinking back to what staff mentioned here. Have you pursued any conversation with, you say it was Westar that owns that overhead electrical?
I believe it
is. The transmission lines. Have there been any conversations with the owners of the overhead electrical easement?
I can see that too. When we got the easement document, the easement's on the plat. This document started out, I think he said, and I'd have to go back and look, like in the 40s, when the electric companies back then took easements, they took them as what they call blanket easements. And then over the years, as development started occurring more prevalently on what used to be farmland, they got ratcheted down in size and more defined based on the actual location of the lines. So this easement's actually based on the fact that there is a very large, wide two-pole setup. I would assume this is a fairly major electrical line through town. I've been with GBA for 30 years, and I don't know if that's worth anything, but I've not seen us be very successful at all in trying to move buildings into these easements. We're always successful in getting pavements and pedestrian areas under the easements, but buildings have just been impossible. Similar to requests for, and it's something that Austin had asked, can we go to the gas company? I said, Austin, that's a 16-inch gas main, high-pressure gas main. It has a 50-foot building setback specifically called out in the document. We have not approached the gas company as well, but again, based on some experience, they want that separation. I think you guys want that separation from your public, so that's why it's there. So we would prefer not to go back to the gas company and ask for a variance on that side.
And that comment made me remember something else that I wanted you to know. When you compare the old footprint of the building, the current Applebee's, and what's being built, notwithstanding the fact that you've got this right here, there's a number of parking areas that are there today that by the time this is done will get converted back to more of a green space area as sort of shown on this guy. And it's kind of right there in this corner. So in the net of all this, you wind up with more green area than you have today.
Any other questions? Mr. Wilburns?
No.
I did have a question for the engineer. Could you speak to the average main size in a typical street for a gas line and how rare a 16-inch gas main might be?
You know, when you get into like a commercial business park, it's not uncommon to see 6-8-inch mains. This is what we would refer to as a transmission main. I'm not a gas pipeline engineer, but it's a pipeline that's moving gas. This is probably, and I've not done the research, but I would guess based on its size, this is not a gas line that's being tapped for services. Typically, a service line or a main that's tapped for an actual gas service is going to be much smaller, maybe 6-inch, 4-inch. So this is a high-pressure main moving gas through your community.
And transmission pipeline, not yep. distribution.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you put a backhoe into that, what do you think would happen?
They have very specific requirements. We did, on the platting side, our surveyor reached out and talked to them a little bit about, and we've still got to submit some site plans to them to show them. So when we grade, we've done some preliminary grading on the site as part of our SUP submittal, and we basically are placing the pavement that we're going to propose at the same basic exact grades as the pavements that's there, so that the gas company, so that we're not impacting that buried depth of the gas main. They have very specific language in there as well of what the restrictions are just when we're doing pavement and when we're doing the trees as well. So that's another process we're going to have to go through.
Talking to them about trees?
We will have to talk to them about trees. And the trees that are showing up on this plan, this plan we brought along tonight, this is in response to the city's comments for the special use permit. And I brought this along so that I could show that we have, these are existing trees that are on the site right here, and it's our intent to leave those. These trees are required by the street tree ordinance. and we intend to put those in. But again, we're going to have to go back and communicate with the gas company to ensure that we're far enough from the gas main to be able to put these in. And then the other reason I wanted to bring it was because this is an existing tree right here that we're intending to save. This is an existing tree right here that we're intending to save. The street tree requirements require us to put this tree, and that tree in, and we're going to do that. And while I'm pointing, when we certainly read the opinion of the understanding when we first talked to staff, and my intent is not to throw your staff under the bus at all. They've been awesome to work with. We thought this was a landscape buffer easement as we were communicating back and forth. So with that in mind and talking to Austin through a lot of this, we knew that we were going to be here in front of you talking about this potential variance. So we added a bunch of landscaping here because we felt like that would be something that if we could offer that up, that it would add to that green space buffer look that we think that maybe the staff is trying to encourage in this corridor. So lots of added ornamental grasses that we're looking at putting in here to help hide that drive. And that's the pictures that are in front of you tonight I brought as well. They're Google Street Views. Thank the Lord for Google Street View. Where we stood in Google and showed, there's a drawing in there that has a tree outlined in red.
Can you show me which tree that is on there?
Exactly. That's that tree right there.
Right there?
Right there.
Okay.
So that tree will be saved, and then basically behind it in those pictures is this tree. So the reason I thought that was important was when you visually look at it as you're staring down the corridor, you can see that everything that we're proposing is on the commercial side, not the street side, but the commercial side of the development. So we're not visually, we don't feel like we're impacting anything down the corridor. And then there's the other picture that's in there that looks to the, I think I labeled them looking east and looking west. Mr. Gardner, I think goes back to a question you asked earlier about where the easement starts. When you're standing in 6th Street and you look back, when you're standing in Monterey and you look back to the east, there are fences, there's a parking lot that's 20 feet off the back of the curb. And so, you know, even from a buffer standpoint of looking on down to the west, we really feel like we're offering a great transition that allows us to get our building fit in.
Go back to the picture with the red tree, or just tell me, this picture with the red tree is the sidewalk there.
Yes.
Where does that sidewalk compare to where your drive is?
Dashed in.
That sidewalk, I think, does it show up on that drawing?
It's on the drawing.
So you're talking about this sidewalk.
Yep.
That sidewalk would be just probably within 5 feet of that paving line. And I'm trying to think if we have a drawing here.
Thank you.
Just the overhead.
Yeah, so if you look at this drawing, you can see that sidewalk is right here and our drive is right there. And so our intent is to keep these trees through here.
Yeah. Sidewalk would go away.
Yes, the sidewalk will go away.
Because there is no use for it.
It's really use for it now.
And I do think that
it's to case the old Applebee's. Case the old Applebee's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
Dark green boots.
So as part of our plan, because we had this public access here, we're going to, and you guys don't have that site plan in front of you, unfortunately, but we're going to have that public access back up here. So we'll still have the public access to the site. We're just going to remove it down here. So again, you can see the trees in this plan, trees right here, tree right here, the tree right in here. It's hard to see. This is a really good photo because you can see the width and the size of the overhead power lines. There's a power line here, here, and here. And then you can see the power line poles there. So you can see the impact just in the power lines themselves, the overall width of the power lines as they cut across the site. You can't hardly see it up there.
Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
See, there's none. Is the applicant done with their presentation?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak representing the applicant?
If you have any questions on the uniqueness, I think that may be one. And first, I'm Chris Michael. I'm a franchisee and distributor. One of the things you may look at is building size. Why do we need that term?
Sir,
can you approach and absolutely identify your name, please?
So my name is Chris Michael. I'm a current franchisee and also the distributor for Tommy's Equipment. One thing when you look at the building that you see that is unique is that turn radius that we talked about. For us, we have a three-pay station lane, and one of the most unique things that we do is the ability to wash dualies as well. So our turn radius has something to do with that because we have a self-loading belt, the dual belt system. As you may know, in 2022, the U.S. government is going to make it mandatory that every vehicle has assisted braking technology incorporated in. Current chain and roller, which we own some, will not be able to wash some of those cars. As they see things, they approach, they will put their brakes on. So old school car washes will become obsolete. Our technology and the way that we do it allows us to go forward past 2022 in washing vehicles. We need that turn radius to be able to get them straight on that belt. It's a different setup. I could go really nerdy car wash on you. But there is a great necessity for that on that aspect. I wish that we could get a little bit more, but this is the minimum that we can make sure that you know our customers are going to feel comfortable and be able to enjoy that experience. But there is a uniqueness. The word car wash is thrown around a lot, and what you might be imagining as a car wash is not what we necessarily do at Tommy's Express. We are looking forward. I mean, we have license plate recognition. We have our own app. We are looking into being able to wash driverless cars at one day. This facility and the way that it is developed is for that. The cars of 2022 and beyond, which you will have here, will be able to wash here. And that's why it is important and a unique situation that our equipment is built for that aspect.
For the enjoyment of the board, can you tell us a little bit about your company's projection on the adoption of driverless car technology?
You know what? There's some very interesting meetings that have been along with that. And the assisted braking technology, just really quick, is the most interesting aspect that chain of rollers, if they ask people to take it off, it may become a liability to the car wash aspect if, you know, you deactivate that. And then let's say a 16-year-old deactivates it because they went through our car wash and we put a sign up at the old car wash and gets in a wreck, liability can come back. That's why it's crucial. We do not build any car washes on chain and roller anymore because we see that as a major liability aspect for the public if we have to ask them to do that. So with our dual belt system, we actually, the car rides on that aspect and it must be straight, and that's where the turn radius comes into play on that.
Yep.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Yep.
I think this time we're ready to open it up for public comment. I think there'd be a few.
Good evening. My name is Austin Davis. I don't know if you would consider myself part of the public as I'm part of this group, but I just wanted to say hi, introduce myself. I'm very much a people person, and kills me not to be able to talk with everybody, but I'm not as knowledgeable yet as everybody right here behind me. So I thank you guys for your time and for putting up with all of us.
Thank you. I feel like it was kind of like speed dating there. I see no other parties interested in public comment. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to close public comment. So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. So, discussion?
So, one of the things that's been thrown around this evening is the uniqueness. And so, was it Mr. Michael?
Yes.
Right? Mr. Michael talked about the uniqueness of the actual car wash, but what we're talking about this evening is the uniqueness of the lot.
Right.
Or parcel, and general mentioned that you had uniqueness because of the easements, and I don't see that at all. You have an existing structure, and so where your uniqueness comes in is because you've got this 50-foot green space buffer, and you're on a United States highway. That's where your uniqueness comes in. You don't have that across the street to the east, and you don't have that, I'm going to guess approximately 2 miles to the west, and then it picks up again. So I just I can't agree that it's unique because of the easements. I would say the uniqueness comes from the requirement of the green space buffer being particular to that area and its proximity to a United States highway, which is, I believe, is that 6 or 40? 40. I'm pretty good with the highways, too. I'll tell you where they're all at. Cars. I got a lot of cars.
I agree with you, but I was talking about the buffer and the easements. All combined make it very unique. I don't know. Have you seen that anywhere?
Let's get to that. I have a question for you. Would you go as far as to say that part of that uniqueness of what they're calling green space buffer also relates to the fact that it's inconsistent along the street, and therefore also the original intent might be a bit dubious at this point with this whole entry thing?
I wouldn't speak on the original, on the intent.
Okay.
But I would say that its inconsistency is something that maybe would be reviewed at a later date.
Sorry to interrupt, General. But
yeah, so
go ahead.
You found it unique for a different reason that I found it unique, but I think it's all combined.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And there isn't anything like that in that area.
That's where I was going to go, is it's unique in the sense that there's some comparison to other businesses on 6th Street, but I can't think of anything on 6th Street other than the businesses right next to it that face that same uniqueness.
We showed earlier that angle that puts them out of that easement, and that's why that building was built at that angle. And Hy-Vee, they put their gas station out of that easement, and it's just a parking lot. And so I don't think that the easements to the north and to the east provide uniqueness, because I've already been shown that I'm able to build Applebee's built there. I think your uniqueness comes from, like I said, the south. Because of the green space buffer.
I can go with however you get. I just think that
you say tomato?
Yeah. So I think it fits category one.
Does it fit hardship, though? Because of that, or how do we, I mean...
I think the uniqueness actually lends to the hardship.
But we knew about the uniqueness beforehand. I mean, this is, that property's been there for a long time. Those easements have been there for a long time. It's not something they didn't choose to take on.
Well, I think we can get to the hardship discussion. Is there anyone else that has comments on the uniqueness?
No.
I did ask the engineer specifically about the gas main. I did work for a water utility for many years, and I can tell you that when you get pipe sizes above 8 inches, things get a little hairy. When you get 16-inch gas lines, I mean, this is like catastrophic type stuff. To mess with that gas line. They're super sensitive to that. You know, it's common to see a four inch gas line down your street. The gas line that serves your house might be an inch or quarter inch, three quarter inch, whatever it is. But 16 inches of gas is, I mean, that's where you're calling in the general when something bad happens there. So that in and of itself, I can make a case, might be unique in that a normal gas setback probably isn't that large and not that dangerous. And then you combine that with the overhead electrical easement. I mean, you've got the makings of a 1980s action movie, I think. It's one of the things that get really bad.
You know, one of the things that we're starting to approach this like a normal variance where we're looking at the five categories.
Right.
But if we're talking about structure and parking, you made a good point. That's not parking.
So I think that leads to the conversation of hardship, which is what Mr. Wilbur is talking about. So we think about hardship. Can anybody define the hardship here?
My time on the board, we have always determined that financial hardship is not sufficient reason to grant a variance.
Agreed.
I don't know if I would classify this as financial solely. There's probably some of that weighs in on it.
Well, I think it was an important
kind of admission by the applicant that, that this is less of a building and more of a machine that's kind of dropped in place. For whatever that's worth, I don't know. You know, in practicing architecture, it's not like you just move this room over here and move that room over here. This is literally a machine that, that they're putting in place. And the radiuses and clearances and all those kinds of things are a factor of both the machine is trying to achieve, but also the restrictions that we have put upon them.
And with that, I feel like in the interest of hardship, it's like knowing that going in, they knew that if this yeah. was the plan, knowing that going in, like due diligence, or if it were me,
yeah,
I would spend a lot of time doing due diligence to make sure that my machine is going to fit on the lot I'm about to buy and not hinge on a decision by six knuckleheads or seven knuckleheads.
So I find that hardship case interesting when you consider that the program doesn't work because of 10 feet of access road, which goes to the point of, is it even an easement or is it even a variance? And then that kind of makes me wonder, so it says green space buffer, and maybe this is a question for staff, what if that road was dirt?
If it was dirt?
Yeah.
Make that car wash work hard.
The setback would still be effective regardless of what paving materials put down the road.
Why?
Because setbacks are determined by property lines and by the ordinance, not necessarily by the pavement that's applied by the road.
So perhaps this might be an opportunity to address the applicant's case that it's neither a building nor parking.
Usually we've run into this in the past. The planning director has erred on the side of caution and said if it is pavement in some regard, there is a potential that somebody can park on it.
There's a potential that somebody could park on it even though it may be marked as no parking or maybe, in all indications, the most inconvenient place to park, but it's still an option for someone to park on that. So it's been, as the planning director there on the side of caution saying that that would constitute potentially a use of parking at some point. While it may not be signed for it, or in the case of this car wash, it would probably be extremely
unlikely
or haphazard, I would say, probably even mm-hmm. inconsistent with the use of the car wash, mm-hmm. but it's still an option that's there that somebody parks there overnight or has that effect to it.
Thank you. It sounds like an interpretation. Mm-hmm.
Do we know what the... I'm reading through this resolution or the ordinance again. It goes into detail, but do we know the specific intent besides just whatever, the entryway to the city?
Does the desire of the city and the county to create a greenway effect along the major corridors through the gateways of the city?
So if this has landscaping around the drive, trees around the thing, the green space is
improved.
There. So yeah. I don't know. That kind of goes away.
Well, and that goes back to my uniqueness comment of you don't have it 100 feet to the east,
right.
And you have it, you don't have it a mile to the west. So I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is where's the hardship besides financial, I guess.
So it's been stated that the easements, and although you don't agree, it has been stated that some of these easements are actually in and of themselves unique because it is rare to have an electric easement that is large-scale transmission lines or even a below-ground easement for utilities, in this case a 16-inch gas main. Both of those things are actually fairly unique in and of themselves as far as the type of easement.
Especially combined.
Then combined.
Especially at angles.
And then added with your case of this 50-foot buffer setback. Okay.
I mean, what you have is a hardship property, but not necessarily a hardship situation. Because the property's been there and in place. These easements have been there and in place. The green space buffer has been there and been in place.
If I recall, it's unnecessary hardship. Is that right? Is that
correct?
Okay. And so I think that's where it gets interesting, is that
as the city created it.
Well, I think it's interesting to just to kind of explore what unnecessary is. In other words, the building fits, the egress fits, everything fits except this just small X amount of square feet of turning radius. It seems a bit unnecessary to say your program doesn't work because of 10 feet of paving, which the city has at least acknowledged is unclear as to the specifics of the case that's made before us, which is whether or not it's a building or parking.
If I may, Mr. Chair, there is a definition of unnecessary hardship in Article 17 of Land Development Code.
Can you read that to us?
We'll try my best.
Thank you.
Unnecessary hardship, the condition resulting from the application of these regulations when viewing the property and its environment that is so unreasonable as to become an arbitrary or capricious interference, with the basic right of private property ownership, or convincing proof exists that it is impossible to use the property for a conforming use, or sufficient factors exist to constitute a hardship that would in effect deprive the owner of their property without compensation. Mere financial loss or the loss of potential financial advantage does not constitute unnecessary hardship.
So the second part of that is the one that might apply here.
Yeah.
Because this is a conforming use of car wash. It's right. Legitimate business. It's allowed by the city.
Looks like it's the only way to fit it.
Unless you're an Applebee's, right? Mm-hmm. Other kinds of businesses could go there.
Chili's.
I think it's kind of interesting that the only reason we're seeing this is because, what was it you stated, Jeff, that this normally would go to land development?
The subdivision regulations are typically, they go to the Planning Commission for their variances and those items in there, but when the ordinance was adopted, this body was designated as the variance hearing body.
So we're hearing this because the site is still deemed usable. It's not that completely unusable site mentioned.
Jeff, I do have a question for you that may not be able to answer, but perhaps the applicant can. What is the actual square footage of the encroachment into the setback? Does the applicant know?
We had communicated that to staff in an email when we first sent that through, and I don't have that. It's not very much. I wanted to say it was like less than 200 square feet.
It's about at first glance, if you look at your scale, 1 inch to 30 feet, you're probably plus an inch and probably less than half an inch.
Yeah.
So you're talking 150 to 200 square feet.
What is the site area? What's that?
What is the site area?
What was your overall site?
1.33 acres.
Yeah. You're 1.33 acres.
He's looking for metric, this guy.
That'd be 43,560 times 1.33.
60,275.
Yep. There you go. 60,275
square feet.
I believe the email the gentleman mentioned was not sent to me. It may have been sent to the
staff. Correct.
It
was in communication with Mary. Sorry. Yeah.
So that's why I'm not aware of that measurement.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
So 2 and 4 tenths. Percent of the total site area is what this matter is discussing.
So I can find it unique because of a combination of things.
I don't have a problem with uniqueness.
Yeah,
I don't think that's an issue.
Hardship has to do with making a conforming use work in this very unique site.
Well, I'm going.
And I could also find that the argument about this being a parking space, which it's not, means we need to think about that in the process. And because you're going to have landscaping that's going to make it invisible to somebody that's thinking about green space, it's, to me, it's something we should grant the variance for, or just say you don't need a variance.
It sounds like you're kind of painting a wild picture, kind of forming an idea of perhaps.
I'm trying to talk to everybody to see if I'm missing the boat here.
Jeff, do we have any ability to make a statement that you don't need a variance?
Has that ever come up?
Yeah, not to my knowledge. Usually when it reaches this point, it's been determined that the board is necessary to rule and make a motion in some regard.
That has come up.
To the best of my knowledge, that has not been...
We're required to either approve or deny.
Approve or deny.
Or kick the can.
I went through that last year.
Yeah. Correct. Your motion abilities this evening would be to approve with conditions, or deny the item. And I would, just to clarify, I think I may have misread that sentence. Let me read it again. It's the second portion that Mr. Wilbur mentioned. Or convincing proof exists that it is impossible to use the property for a conforming use.
And you can read that two different ways.
Correct.
Because the conforming use of a car wash, which is being presented by the applicant, or a conforming use in general, like Applebee's.
Correct.
I read it as a conforming use like a car wash.
That's kind of how I'm reading it, too.
And just to remind the board that the PCD that currently zones the property does not permit a car wash use. It will still have to go through the Planning Commission for other approvals to get to that point.
Okay,
I have a question.
Do it based on
would the condition be approval of the site plan?
The board can condition it in such regard.
Would site plan would be the correct verbiage? Need approved?
It would be a special use permit that would be necessary for the car wash to exist.
So for the SUP?
Correct.
So you could condition that with approval of the SUP?
Correct.
Okay.
And condition the whatever that encroachment could not be used for parking?
That would be more of an enforcement item than something that I would normally see in this regard, but
okay.
It is also possible.
That I believe is
inconsequential.
We've talked about things like that in the past, and we're unable to do that. Then becomes an enforcement issue.
Can I have a point of clarification on that question?
Would the board enjoy a comment from the applicant?
Sure.
The chairman's, behalf.
If the applicant would
be imaginary gavel.
If the applicant would like to speak, we would open.
Mr. Chairman, you will need to open public comment again.
So I would take a motion to open public comment.
Moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great.
Does that carry or not?
I think that's carry.
Okay.
We could move to a grunt system.
All in my own attorney. I guess we do since we have that protest right now.
Okay. So let me clarify.
We got two.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I've not run across that in my time running through processes like this. Is the question that you just talked about that you would take by putting a condition on the variance to site plan approval, that's not putting your decision back to the Planning Commission. You're holding your commission and saying, if the site plan gets forwarded and gets approved, then we're going to grant the variance.
Do you want to answer that?
What that kind of says?
You want me to answer that?
I would. You proposed it.
So the variance is approved on the condition that the special use permit would be approved.
Okay, that's perfect.
So
could be.
Could be.
Okay.
So your variance is approved, but if you don't get the special use permit,
then you're not hung out there with the variance.
Then the variance is gone.
Great.
Jeff? That way, because the variance for the property extends.
Understood.
Forever.
That's the clarification I was seeking.
Because we don't want to drive through donut shop using that.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Oh.
That's.
Is there any other public comment? And I will take a motion to close public comment.
So moved. So,
second. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I'm going to break a record for reopening public comment. You did a much better job.
So we have at least a few board members that can agree that we interpret that
yep.
hardship the same way?
Yeah.
Would anybody have any comments on that?
I think it's open to interpretation, but that's my interpretation.
That's my interpretation.
I still like, yeah. I'm not there.
Okay. Do you have any comments on that?
I still think this could be used as a car wash. It just couldn't be used as a Tommy's car wash, which has a predefined regulated length of 67.5 feet with a turning radius of 12 feet as per corporate mandate somewhere, and that it could be solved if, you know, I could see like Tommy's could somehow solve this and shrink the car wash by 10 feet, but that would require rebuilding some robotics or redesigning their system. And so there is, it's maybe not a financial hardship. I would call it maybe more like a convenience. It's convenient for them to build this building in this place because they have those blueprints, they have those robots, they have those belts at that length. And so therefore, like, it could be a car wash, just not this car wash.
That sounds to me like you defined a hardship. And perhaps discriminated against robots. But I appreciate, I know where you're coming from. I could see exactly where you're coming from.
I mean, if they're, you know, if
because competitor B could have a 60-foot.
Yeah, if it was 69.5, then we'd be talking about a 12-foot setback, you know, and it's like, at what point is it, you know, does it have to be a 20-foot setback change, you know, or a 30-foot before we say, you know.
Then let me flip that on you. At what point does it need to be, is a 40-foot green space enough?
Yeah, but we don't get to talk about that. We don't get to decide those things.
So there's been a case against. I would posit that there's perhaps only one tenured and ultra-competent board member here to craft a well-versed motion that would capture all of this. But maybe there's two. Maybe there's another brave soul.
I just feel that after the discussion, we've met the five conditions. I think the only one that we had an issue with at all was the hardship, and I think that our interpretation said defined a hardship.
Put it up to the light.
So that was my interpretation. I believe it was Mr. Wilbur's. I don't want to speak for you. So based on that, I would like to present a motion to approve the variance, and that's based on the fact that it does meet all five conditions set forth in section 20-1309G1 of the Land Development Code. And I'm going to base that on staff's presentation. I'm going to base that on the applicant's presentation. I'm going to base that on the board's discussion this evening.
With the condition?
With the approval condition, approval based on the condition of approval of the special use permit.
Specific to this applicant.
Specific to this, to this variance?
Yeah.
Sure.
So we have a motion.
And second.
And second. Mr. Secretary, are you comfortable with the motion as stated?
Correct. Let me just read back the condition to make sure I have it correctly for you. It's recommendation for approval subject to the condition of the approval of the special use permit for this applicant.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we have it seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
If I can, Mr. Chair, we have a hand vote or a voice vote for this item.
Yep. You guys want to go hands? Handsies?
Sure.
Let's go handsies. All those in favor? Against? The motion carries.
Thank you.
So you have your variance.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
I didn't get my question answered on when driverless cars are going to be adopted.
I'm 100%.
Put that in a basement.
Don't ask us. We're just going to watch them.
All right.
Never driverless cars.
Ever. Do we need a motion for adjournment, or can you just knock your cab and adjourn?
I think I want to ask.
We have to ask about other issues.
Yeah. Is there, Mr. Secretary, is there any other business to come before the board?
Not this evening. Would like to let you know that your deadline for your next meeting is tomorrow, and at this time we have not been in discussions with applicants or are anticipating receiving any applications. So it is a potential your next meeting will not exist.
Economy is going this well and we're not getting variances? Okay.
They're putting them all in the spot.
Just want to put that out there, but if one does come in, we will let you know.
Okay. With that, I would take a motion to, well, I'd just say a meeting adjourned. Is that what I need?
We need a motion.
I need a motion. I'll take a motion to close the meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
I'm opposed. I'm a hardliner to stay.